from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just like that, we have reached the final hour of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
I said I would test today. I had to find out if you were back, and you appear to be back.
Yeah. Feeling good. Yes, indeed. Having a day here, my dudes and dudettes. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program. 844.
Oh, man, that's over. It's over. Oh. We're done.
Oh, dude.
You all right? Dude, you got water right in front of you. Open it up. Take a swig. I got it for 30 seconds.
I didn't know what that
seconds.
Was.
It's obviously, there are flies in the studio, and one just flew into your mouth.
Holy cow.
Happens all the time when you're doing that. Yeah.
I was on the verge of death there for a second.
It's exactly what would happen if you tried to kick an extra point
now. Stop it.
Maybe you were thinking of cobbler and it just, you know, you lost your breath for a moment.
You mean pie.
Make sure you vote as many times as you can in the Fan Upstate poll.
Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate. You can follow us on Twitter. We do have a poll up right now. Is cobbler a pie or is cobbler pie? I believe is the thing.
I looked up for a second. I thought LeBron James was playing tennis. No, I mean, look at the dude's opponent.
Yeah, that's Tiafo. He's a stud.
Not him.
Yeah, obviously not the white Spaniard is not the guy you thought was LeBron James.
Just Spaniard. I don't know that he's okay.
Yes, he's a Spaniard. He is from Spain.
I just saw the headband. Okay, I saw the headband. He looked like young LeBron.
That's Tiafoe. He's a damn good. He might win this thing. He might win Wimbledon. He's very good.
Wait, an American might win Wimbledon?
Yeah, ain't no Brits gonna win it.
On the guy's side.
Correct.
An American on the guy's side might actually win.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. He's a stud. 29th in the world.
When's the last time that happened?
If he wins this.
Sampras, maybe? I don't know.
I don't remember. But if he wins this, this is the last ranked opponent he sees to the quarterfinals. I could be wrong. I looked up the bracket when it started
on Monday.
Wimbledon
has some surprises on occasion, but I mean, so you're saying it's smooth sailing if he gets past this.
Last American man to win Wimbledon was Pete Sampras, who won in 2000.
Look at me.
Big tennis guy over here.
You guys losing right now. Hey, I was a big tennis guy back in the day with Bjorn Borg and Andre Agassi, definitely because of the hair.
Let's see. Joker has won it 4 times in a row. Didn't have one in 2020, but he won the last 4 before that. Before that was Federer and Murray. Then Djokovic twice. Murray, Federer, Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, Nadal. Federer, 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 Federer. Leighton Hewitt. Goran Ivanisevic. Sampras.
Ivanisevic.
Sure.
I know. Because I've watched more than 5 tennis matches, so I'm
qualified tennis guy.
I'm a tennis guy.
Pete Sampras won it 4 times in a row before that. Then there was Richard Krajicek? What's his name, Lonzo? 1996 from the Netherlands. You know this guy, big tennis guy over here.
I boycott the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm not in that.
Sampras 3 times in a row before that, Agassi before him. So the Americans won the lion's share of Wimbledon in the 90s.
Why do you want to throw a Netherlands in there when we're just talking about America?
The Dutch! There's two types of people I don't like. People who are intolerant to the culture of others and the Dutch. 60-40 is the vote right now on the FanUp State poll, by the way. 60% cobbler, not a pie. 40% cobbler is a pie.
So it's ebbing back up towards me.
Yeah, we got to about, I think it was like 53 to 47% at one point, and now it is flying back the other direction. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Shockingly, we actually do have some sports stories to get here on the show.
I'm going to text Diesel and Cole. Cole never answers.
No, usually, you tell them to go on the poll and vote.
No, I'm going
to
ask them, is cobbler a pie?
Cole says yes. Diesel says no. That's my prediction. Actually, I'm going to submit that for the 5 o'clock fight today. That's what I'm going to do.
I don't think you can submit for other shows.
I absolutely can.
I could be wrong about that.
I absolutely am.
You can try.
I text their show all the time. It's a blast. See how many I can get rid on the air. Answer is a lot of them. A lot of them.
Do they know it's you?
No. I text the text line. They never check.
Well, now you've
They might now if they're listening, yeah. But I mean, they'll have to go through the work of checking while they're live, and I don't think they're going to do that. Here, I found this article yesterday. Will Texas become the SEC's most hated team? No. Why would they be?
They would have to win, I don't know.
Yeah, Texas is going to be good, but the amount of people predicting them to win the conference in their first year is ridiculous.
Well, Georgia's probably going to win the whole thing. Alabama doesn't exist anymore because Nick Saban's gone. I don't know.
All right. You say that. I'm switching gears. I was gonna talk about Texas and the fact that I think Quinn Ewers is overrated.
Sorry, I influenced the direction of the show.
It's pretty usual. I'm good with it. If I had a problem with it, we'd have had a lot of problems a long time ago.
If you had a problem with it, you'd have pushed it to the side.
So, Kalen DeBoer. I was on the air yesterday, my co-host yesterday. As I said, Cole would say yes. There's one.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Yep.
And I predict Diesel says no. Kalen DeBoer comes to Alabama. Yesterday, I was on the air with P.J. Glasser. P.J. Glasser is an Alabama alum. He went to Bama. He said that he thinks Alabama drops off. He thinks Alabama drops off with the loss of Nick Saban. I was like, why? Kalen DeBoer has won everywhere he's gone. He said, here's the thing about Nick Saban. Nick Saban was the definition of win every game you're supposed to and most of the ones you're not. Said, if you go back and you look, games that were decided by less than a score, less than 7 points, Nick Saban won like 90-something percent of those games. And he's right. But here's the thing, so did Kalen DeBoer. So does Kalen DeBoer. That's why he was playing for a natty. Well, I guess coaching for a national championship last year because he wins most of the ones that he's not supposed to. Really always has. Really everywhere he's gone, that has been the case. I don't understand. And in fact, I don't like. Not because I've got a soft spot for Alabama. I do not. But because I think some folks are going to be sleeping on Bama and get caught slipping by Bama. I think there's a lot of folks who are under the impression that Kalen DeBoer's team is going to look a lot like Washington did last year when they got cooked in the national championship game. I think a lot of people are not realizing, yes, Kalen DeBoer comes over, but he's taken over a team stocked with Nick Saban talent.
See, I get all that. But as a player or as a coach for another SEC team, I'm no longer as intimidated, maybe not intimidated at all when I'm going up against Alabama because Nick Saban isn't standing over there. That is a factor when you have arguably the best coach in the history of college football on the sideline. That's intimidating. You look over there, he's gone. You think, okay, we got a shot. Maybe you already had a shot, but it ups your confidence a little bit. You play just a little bit harder because you think you can take them down because Nick is no longer there.
I mean, I can't say no to that, right? Like, I can't say that's wrong. What I can say is I think that I don't want to lean on it. And maybe that's on me. Maybe I'm underestimating the amount of influence that emotion has on the game. Maybe I'm underestimating the lack of importance that one person, the amount of influence that one person can have on a game just by existing, right? Like, maybe I'm wrong for that. Maybe not seeing Saban on the other sideline looses up head coaches, loosens up players, creates a world in which Lonzo was correct and guys look over and go, oh, Nick's not over there. They're mortal now, right? The infinity gauntlet of coaches isn't over there anymore. Now we can beat them. Maybe that's the case. But I don't think that's what a lot of people are leaning on. I'm not saying nobody is. Obviously, Zoe is, and I think that's more than fair. But I don't think I think a lot of people are for some reason or the next under the impression that just because Kalen DeBoer is coming down, that Alabama's going to drop an ability down to where Washington was. Kalen DeBoer is bringing a wildly successful coaching pedigree to a roster that is stacked as if Nick Saban is still there. And what I said to PJ Glasser about this yesterday was that there's a reason Alabama jumped so damn quick from Saban to DeBoer, right? Like, Alabama is at a level that they could have, I'm not going to say they could have gotten anybody that they wanted, but they could have got most guys. Most guys would argue that while Alabama is certainly a higher pressure job than the overwhelming majority of gigs, it also provides you with more resources to succeed than the overwhelming majority of gigs, right? It is going to be easier to survive at Bama than it is, I don't know, anywhere that's not Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Notre Dame.
What, I mean, what's the record, I don't know how we would look this up, of coaches coming in following up a legendary coach in any sport? How well did they do the following year? Even with, I mean, yes, you can say, well, they have their recruits, so they should still, you're basically just playing with that guy's team, but you still have to coach them the way that guy did. And there's, I believe there's going to be a drop-off.
It is more than fair to ask the question, and I would say that over the years, I think it is more than fair to say the majority of dudes who are the dude after the dude turn out not to be the dude. I think that is abundantly fair to say.
That's why they say you don't want to be the next guy. You want to be the guy after
yeah.
that.
You don't want to be the guy after the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy after the guy. That's the guy you want to be. The guy that comes after the guy that comes after the guy, not the guy that comes after the guy, because it's hard to be the guy that comes after the guy. But at the same time, you also don't want to, you know, you don't want to throw away your shot, as the famous lyric from Hamilton says. You don't want to throw away your shot. You don't want to wait for it. Because a job like Alabama does not come open that often. And on top of that, if Alabama does come open, it's because whoever the guy after the guy is failed. And if the guy after the guy failed, and he did, if he failed really poorly, Alabama may not be as good of a job as it is a couple of years down the line. Is Alabama as good of a job now, or was it as good of a job after the Price Shula debacle? No, when Saban took over that job, Alabama was an upper mid-tier or lower pristine level job. It wasn't what it is today. So a guy like Kalen DeBoer does not want to miss the opportunity to jump into a program that is going to do more to help him to succeed than most any other program in America. Like I said, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Georgia. What other schools would you put up there with Alabama in terms of resources and commitment to the football program? Not very many, if any, that I missed. So a guy like Kalen DeBoer is going to jump up there, but it also means that Alabama, more than likely, could get just about anybody that they want. They could get just anybody, but just about anybody that they want. And so when they are looking around at potential head coaches, this is the guy not only that they picked, but it is the guy that they picked real damn quick, too. How many days was it between Saban and DeBoer? Like, not even a week, right? Wasn't it like 4 or 5 days? Which, by the way, Saban's retirement, I'm not saying it came as a surprise to everybody at Alabama. Like, I am sure that Saban probably told the athletic director there that he was out. Like, I'm sure he told Greg Byrne, I'm out, right? Just as an FYI, Miss Terry and I made our decision, we're out. But the announcement was a surprise to everybody else. Do you remember doing the show the day that Saban retired? It was like chaos, man. It was like chaos. It stopped the sports media world for an entire day. And yet, Kalen DeBoer was in there by the end of that week. Because that Bama knew who the hell they wanted. And it wasn't Dabo. And it wasn't anybody else. It wasn't Norvell. Right? All these names that got thrown out there. They put odds up on the board within an hour of who was going to be Saban's replacement. And DeBoer had like the fifth or sixth longest odds, right? Norvell was at the top. Dabo was at the top. There were a number of head coaches of good programs, successful programs, that were at the top. Bama knew who they wanted. They wanted him because the guy's got a pedigree. The guy gets to take over Saban's squad. I think they're going to be fine. They got a Heisman candidate at quarterback. They've got an offensive and defensive line that's as good as anybody's with the exception of maybe Georgia's and Michigan's this year. They did lose a couple of starting caliber players to Florida State. But they also replaced them with 4- and 5-star recruits because they're Alabama. I would caution everybody in the SEC, don't sleep on Bama. Don't think Bama's falling back to Arkansas, Mizzou. They ain't there. I'm not saying they won't be in 2 or 3 years. I also ain't saying that Caleb DeBoer is going to fail at Alabama. Because he hasn't failed anywhere else. And again, he's not bringing Washington down.
What is failure? What would you consider failure?
Nine wins.
Nine? Okay.
Not a fewer.
And not the gravitas to get yourself into the playoff anyway.
For the record, their over-under win total in Vegas is 9.5. So Vegas says they're either winning 9 or 10. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking the over. And it's plus money to the over. It's like plus 135 to the over. They're going to lose to Georgia. The only other team I see them losing to is Tennessee, and that's because it's at Neyland Stadium this year. And Josh Heupel's doing a great job there. Who the hell else on that schedule are they going to lose to? Mizzou? South Carolina? No. They're winning 10. They'll be in the playoffs this year. Book it. Because they're Bama. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, I was texting Diesel because Diesel said competitive eating is a sport during the sports flash there a second ago.
He still hasn't answered the question about Cobbler.
He also hasn't. You are correct.
Seems to be avoiding that question.
But I just want to point out that.
Or maybe it's because I asked a question. Maybe he's mad at me. I don't know. I probably did something.
I just want to point out that Diesel said that it's not a sport if there's no defense. There's no defense in competitive eating, Diesel. He said vomiting, choking, and gastrointestinal distress, there's defense. No, no. Those aren't defenses. Those are consequences. All right?
I got to go. I got to agree with you. That is a consequence.
It's That's not a consequence, defense. Not defense. All right?
Now, if your mouth is going, no, 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 and you make it happen anyway, then your mouth was trying to play defense, but I don't think that's...
Still great. Consequences. Still consequences. All right. Let's get some more stuff in here. We talked a little SEC football just a second ago, where it, according to Lonzo, just means more. So, I'll do this one since it's a short segment and none of you care anymore. I'll address this now while I got a second. The American Outlaws are the official supporters group of U.S. soccer. Barra 76 is the official Hispanic supporters group of U.S. soccer. Both of those organizations have put out into the world statements calling for the removal of Greg Berhalter as the manager of U.S. soccer. The first statement came from the American Outlaws. I will not read the entire thing to you. I will read you the last couple of paragraphs because it's effectively what I have been saying for like a while. Quote, every game isn't just about the result. It's an opportunity to capture America's attention and build an everlasting bond between new fans and the team. It's an opportunity to compel new fans to put on the game and lasting fans to share the team with others. But change is necessary to prepare to compete at a home World Cup. We cannot miss this incredible chance to create a lasting impact on the game of soccer in this country, and we feel that a new head coach is an important step at this point. Could not agree more. I will not read the entire Barra statement, but they put out a long one, and I think it is very, very important. It opens with, we, Barra 76, are deeply concerned with the current state of our national team under Greg Berhalter. Despite our unwavering support and dedication to U.S. soccer, we have witnessed countless disappointing performances and a lack of process that falls short of our expectations, and potential. The inability to motivate and develop the team has left us questioning its direction. They also go on to make a statement about how this is an amazing opportunity hosting the World Cup and say that it is, quote, imperative that a change be made at the head coaching job. It's not just me. These are national organizations. These are organizations that have multiple chapters within our listening area. There's a Greenville County chapter. There's an Anderson County chapter. This is a huge organization with thousands upon thousands of paying members around the country that are making a push here. There are two massive problems here. Two massive problems. Problem numero uno is that U.S. soccer dug in its heels. It's a U.S. soccer decision that Greg Berhalter is there. It's a U.S. soccer decision that they hired this man in the first place. It's a U.S. soccer decision that they brought him back in the first place. It is a U.S. soccer decision that he is at the helm. And therefore, and I've said this before, you remember we talked about ownership in the NFL earlier, and I've said what over and over since I got here? Keep an eye on your owners. Not that there's anything you can do about it other than speak out and start paying that money, 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 money. Stop giving them money. But keep an eye on your owner to decide if it's time to start doing that or not, because if your owner gets to a point where they're unwilling to admit that they made a mistake, if your owner is willing to die on the hill of the decisions that they have made, if the owners are willing to just go 10 to the ground and say it with their chest, I'm right, you're wrong, no matter what you say. Am I right, Jerry Jones? Good luck. You might as well quit paying attention because you're just wasting your time as a fan. And the thing about being a fan is that you always are a fan for one of two reasons. Either A, you don't care about wins and losses. You just care about being entertained for a few hours on any given day of the week. Or B, you remain a fan because you're always optimistic that at some point, down the line, at some point, your team's going to compete. At some point, your team's going to get it right. And at some point, you are going to be rewarded. You are going to get some return on investment, be it a championship or a historic run or an NFL Hall of Fame player, whatever it might be. I'm at that point with U.S. soccer, to be quite honest with you. And the problem is, this is the worst possible time in the history of this team, of this organization, for me to feel this way. I am at the point now where if there's not a change, if something's not different, I honestly feel like watching U.S. soccer is a waste of my time right now. Really. You ever felt that way about your team? You ever gotten to the point where you feel like watching a team play, watching your team play is a waste of time? That's how I feel about U.S. soccer right now. And I feel that way about U.S. soccer less than 2 years before the biggest sporting event on the face of the planet is being held in our own backyard. 2 hours from here is Atlanta, Georgia. 2 hours from here is the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 2 hours from here is the site of a World Cup. One of the many, but a site of the World Cup games. This is the first time in my lifetime, because I was six the last time one rolled around, this is the first time in my lifetime that I can buy a ticket and go to the World Cup, and I don't even have to get on an airplane. I will, because I'll absolutely fly to Miami or New York or wherever I need to fly if it gives me the chance to see the U.S. play. I'm going to assume the Americans are going to play at least one game in Atlanta because that's where the headquarters of U.S. soccer is. And since they have some input on how this World Cup is going to be organized and operate, I'm going to assume that they will give themselves a game in their own backyard. So I'm just going to get to go to a USA World Cup game. That's incredible. Except for right now, again, I feel like it's a waste of my time. I feel like I can do better things right now. And so I have a decision to make now. I think we all have a decision to make now. I think the decision that I have to make is it time for me to bail as a fan until something changes? Is it time for me to go press unfollow on the social media accounts of U.S. soccer? Is it time for me to not turn on the friendlies when they start back up in a couple of weeks as we prepare for the World Cup? Is it time for me to not buy any more merch? I got like three U.S. jerseys hanging in the closet. I got a couple of t-shirts, a hat. Is it time for me to make sure I say, no, I'm not buying. I really like the World Cup kits for the next cycle. Or at least the ones we have on right now. I don't know if we'll introduce new ones or not. But I really like the unis that have come out the last couple of years. I'm one of the few. I'm not buying them. Have we hit the point where the right decision for me is to just bail until something happens? Because we can't win in the current state we're in now. Do you believe that with enough impact from the fans, because I think U.S. soccer operates differently than an NFL team. I said earlier, at the end of the day, the only way that an NFL team is going to make changes is either if A, the owner goes, I actually do want to win, or if B, they stop making money. And the only way that an owner's really going to stop making money is if the TV contracts go away. Which is why it is so hard for teams that have been bad for so long to get better. This is why teams that have crap ownership, Cleveland, keep being, you know, an average year for Cleveland is like a historical year for Cleveland. Because there's really not much you can do. But I feel the opposite with U.S. soccer. They don't have gigantic TV contracts like the NFL does. But when I'm looking at buying a ticket because U.S. men's national team is playing in Charlotte, and I look up at a ticket to go watch them play a bottom-level CONCACAF team, and you're trying to sell me a ticket for $75, that ain't it, Chief. Like, can I spend it? Yeah. Because I got free time and expendable income and a bad historical decision-making process. But I know a lot of soccer dudes, they got kids. They can't afford that. They don't have the flexibility with work like I do. They can't do that. Those are all things that have to be considered, and I don't think U.S. soccer considers it. So my question here is, where's the bailout point? I've seen a lot of articles that are blaming the players, and don't get me wrong, I think the players do deserve some of the blame. They were undisciplined. They were overaggressive. Jesse Marsh is the coach for Canada. And Jesse Marsh was asked about the U.S.'s exit from Copa. And even he said, because Jesse Marsh and I both know ball, he said everything I said. Disorganized, undisciplined. But again, undisciplined and disorganized, that's on the coach. That's on Greg Berhalter. That's on the coach of any team that is disorganized and undisciplined. Is it, and am I a bad American for bailing on our national team 2 years before World Cup unless they make a change, or am I a fickle fan, or am I good? Do I have a point? I don't know. Soccer fans, where are you guys at? Because I'm struggling with this, right? Struggling with this right now. Texas said, when Rob eats his cobbler, is his pinky fully extended, or does it have a slight buckle and curve to show his 1% or prestige? Bro, if I'm eating a cobbler, you're lucky if I'm not eating it with a spoon straight out of the dish.
It's a curve. It's definitely a curve.
No, it's either straight out or not at all. There's what do you curve?
There you go. There it is. That's the cobbler curve.
Cobbler, a.k.a. pie. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show, final segment of the day, final segment of the week. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fan Upstate. Spectacular to have you here with us on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. NASCAR going to Chicago this weekend, running the street race at Chicago. I like the concept. I watched this race last year. And I really like it. I really like it because it's not just a road course. It's a tight road course. I mean, you've got road courses on the circuit. And I like having road courses on the circuit. I like having a NASCAR schedule that demands that there is a lot of different skill involved. I am talking about racetracks that rely on the mechanics and the engineers and the pit crew and the tire changers and the crew chief, etc., where pretty much every driver on the mile and a half cookie cutter, every driver knows how to drive that course. Every driver knows how to spin circles on a mile and a half cookie cutter. So really, that race is not won or lost by drivers. That race is won or lost in the setup with the car, in the dialing in of the numbers on the car, making sure the analytics are correct. It's made on decision-making on the track, right? Should we come in? Should we pit? Should we get gas? Should we take two tires? Should we take four tires? I like that there are tracks on there. The races themselves can be quite boring. They just can. Because those cars spread out. Now, you know, you're 35 laps in and you got car every second and a half. And it stays that way for 500 miles. It can be a little boring. But I also think it is important because it sets up a schedule where the races aren't entirely dictated by the drivers. They are dictated by, again, crew chief, tire changers, gas man. The guys in the shop making sure the car is set up correctly. The guys in the lab making sure that the shifting limits on the gearbox are where they need to be. As a guy who likes to deep dive the racing, those things are massively importante. But I also like that you have all different styles of tracks that do test the drivers. I like that there are super speedways, 2.5 miles, almost 200, sometimes over 200 miles an hour. I like that guys have to understand when to draft, when to bump, when to get in line, when to step out of line. Like, the guy's got to take chances. All right, if I get off of this draft, will somebody go with me and open up a second line? If I get out of this draft, will everybody stay in the line and railroad me? I like that. I like that there are multiple now half-mile and three-quarter-mile tracks out there. Short tracks. I like that drivers have to figure out, how do I get through this demolition derby? Where, at any given point, there's not 50 feet of track anywhere on the track that doesn't have a car on it. I think these different races test the drivers, and I like that we have added a classical, traditional-style road race to the mix. And I like that it's just the one that's like Chicago. I like that it is one that gives the guys who's maybe their technical skill is in the street racing. I like that it is set up the way it's set up. There's a lot of very tight turns here. There's also a couple of different spots where the track opens up in a way that allows you to put some speed behind your vehicle. I like this track quite a bit. You're looking at a long straightaway from 2 to 3, a gradual right-hand turn, and then another on 4, but then a 90-degree turn at 5 to the right, a 90-degree turn to the left in 6, a straightaway, a 90-degree turn at 7 to the right, gradual turn that stays left 8, 9, and 10, come out short straightaway into a 90-degree right at 11 and 12, and then a long straightaway across the start finish line. I like this track. It's set up as 2 short tracks with some 90-degree turns to transition between them. Like, this is going to test drivers, and I want test on drivers to determine the playoff field. I'd be fine if they decided to put this field into the playoff, to be honest. I think the playoff needs to be more versatile, not less versatile. I think the 10 races for the playoffs should have 2 traditional short tracks, 2 traditional cookie cutters. It should have 2 super speedways. It should have 2 road courses. And then it should rotate a unique track somewhere else for the last one. I think that'd be a great way to set it up. So we'll see how this race looks. I like the scenery of this race. It's a beautiful race with the Chicago skyline in the background. This is one of, and I'll be honest with you, I can't really explain why. I have not watched as much NASCAR as I traditionally do this year. Spent a lot more checking out race summaries, watching the highlights, watching the NASCAR YouTube videos of the races after they're over that, you know, keep most of the important stuff in, but not everything. Spent a lot of summary in NASCAR this year. I haven't watched nearly as much as I have in years gone by, and I can't really put my finger on why.
Hey, do we have time to squeeze some NFL in real quick?
Sure.
All right, so according to CBS Sports, there are 9 quarterbacks more clutch than Lamar Jackson.
I saw something about that. You said with CBS?
Yeah, I have the list in front of me.
Oh, give it to me.
So
give it to me.
At number 8, because Lamar's number 9. Number 8, Daniel Jones.
Who's 10?
They don't have that. Oh, okay. So we don't have time. So because 10, that's way too much. But 9.
Well, we'll start at 9.
We got plenty of time for 9. So at number 8, Daniel Jones is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. At number 7, Joe Burrow is more clutch than Lamar Jackson.
There's one name I'm waiting for, and I can't wait till you say it.
At number 6, Dak Prescott.
Oh, and there it is!
Is
just
more
like that.
Clutch than,
hey,
than Lamar Jackson.
Mr. Playoff!
Number 5, Jared Goff, more clutch than Lamar Jackson.
Don't have a problem with it.
Number 4, Josh, more clutch than
Who?
Lamar Jackson. Josh.
Josh McCown?
Maybe.
Bell?
Could be.
And Drake?
Definitely. That's the one.
You mean Josh Allen.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Number 3, Jalen Hurts is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. Number 2, CJ Stroud is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. And we already know who number 1 is. So,
Tom Brady.
Patrick Mahomes. Oh. Is more clutch.
Okay.
They're only talking about people who are actually still playing.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Patrick, I'm fine with. Way too early for C.J. Stroud. Way too early for C.J. Stroud to be here. I mean, he had some clutch drives last year, but way too early.
Jalen Hurts had one good season.
Jalen Hurts had a good season. Are we going to put Jalen Hurts here? The Eagles collapsed themselves last year.
I would not put him in there.
The Eagles did the full, like the football version of a cartoon character lighting a stick of dynamite. No. You know what it was? You know when the cartoon character like pulls the pin from the grenade and then throws the pin?
Yes.
That's what the Eagles did, but the football style last year. They pulled the pin and then threw the pin and then stood there and let the grenade blow them up. Bad move. Josh Allen, I don't have an issue with being top five. I'd be good with that. I think the only ones I have a problem with are Dak Prescott. Like, what's the entire legacy of Dak Prescott right now? Make the playoffs, choke in them. That's the opposite of clutch. Like, you got to be clutch to get to the playoffs. But getting to the playoffs and then choking annually, you're not clutch. Joe Burrow, I mean, they call him Joe Cool for a reason. I got no problem with that. Danny Dimes, was the writer of this high when he put Danny Dimes at number 8? First off, how many clutch spots have the Giants been in under Danny Dimes? They're out of the playoffs by week 6 every year. How many clutch spots are they even in?
I don't know if clutch necessarily means playoffs. I think clutch just means any game.
Just any given clutch situation?
Yeah,
that's fine, except for when I get late into the season and the Giants are 6-8 and they're up against a, 12-4 Chiefs team. Are the Chiefs really going full gas in that game? Probably not. Lamar at number 9 is very interesting.
So you would put him top 5?
I would put him behind Patrick Mahomes. I put him ahead of C.J. Stroud. I just don't think you have the data on C.J. Stroud to put him here.
So when the game's on the line and you need that player to step up, Lamar Jackson is top 5 for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I would take him over C.J. Stroud. I'm not saying C.J. Stroud won't take the spot for him. I'm saying you don't have the data. I pointed this out on the BetQL show yesterday. Yes, C.J. Stroud won the division. Yes, it is impressive he won the division.
Out of the list that's up here, the top 9, I would put him top 5 also.
Lamar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Pleasantly surprised by that, to be honest with you.
Because I would put him ahead
of Jalen Hurts.
Ahead of Jalen Hurts, ahead of Dak Prescott, and ahead of Daniel Jones, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. 100%. I don't think it is responsible to have him any lower than 5.
I would also put him ahead of Jared Goff.
I think that's a subjective 50-50 call, and I'd be good with that. Honestly, I'd be good with that. I think Jared Goff had a lot of clutch moments last year. Like a lot of clutch games for that team last year.
My 1 and 2, I can't get beyond my bias. So
you're leaving CJ at 2?
Yeah.
No way. No chance. I like CJ Stroud, and I think he'll be on this list. I don't think he's on it yet. Let's not forget
Right now, with a full field to go and, less than 60 seconds clutch time, I got CJ Stroud as my quarterback. I've got Lamar as my quarterback. I'm going CJ because
over Lamar Jackson?
Because he's a better passer.
Stop.
He's definitely a better passer.
Stop.
I mean, he just is.
Stop. I'm going Lamar over CJ Stroud. I might even have CJ Stroud in the top 5, to be honest. I might put CJ at 5. But let's not pretend Anthony Richardson's shoulder blade didn't explode and the Jacksonville Jaguars rivaled only the Eagles in terms of implosion last year. He going to give it to you.
He is. All right. The things that are X-ing today, let us start with Sharks.
Is it Shark Week this week?
Dude, you haven't seen?
What am I missing?
The big shark attack in Florida?
What? Yes. Another one?
Yeah.
Yo, the Sharks are not playing in the Sunshine State right now.
Several people injured in like the same attack within like 10 minutes or something. Yeah. I forget what beach
Where?
It was.
I'm going to need to know this.
I want to say Miami, but I can't remember exactly.
I usually don't look them up until We get done with the show. South Padre Island, and apparently there's video of like some of the victims coming out of the water, and they are jacked. I regret.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video. I'm not looking at that. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I regret it. I regret it.
I don't want to see that. So, so if you go into the ocean, which I may or may not
should
be doing.
Should you be squeamish, avoid it at all costs.
Yes.
Yeah, I just saw the inside of a lady's leg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
So anyway, sharks are hungry. You go into the ocean. That's where they live. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, I kind of like, I'm a big beach guy, and I'm a get in the water when I go to the beach. I grew up in the beaches of Florida. There are always sharks. If you go to the beach and you get in the water, there's a shark within 500 yards of you at all times.
I'm heading to the beach in a week, and my goal, because I'm old and boring, is to read a book. I mean, I've been in the ocean. Physically, I have some problems with my legs, and the waves don't. They don't care. They will beat you to death. Chances are I will get in a little bit, but not as much as
I love being in the water. I will sit in a float and drink Bahama Mamas in the water all day, every single day. Also, the sharks ain't playing right now. And if you go in the water, you get by a shark. Like, you can't be mad at the shark.
There's been some attacks in California also and some in Myrtle Beach. So just be careful. All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Money in the Bank.
I'm never going to unsee that lady's leg.
You should not have looked at the video.
I mean, what do you, it's all over Twitter.
I saw the headline and I just moved on. Anyway.
Money in the Bank. We are either.
Tomorrow.
We're set now. Oh, it is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
I should pay more attention. Oh, that's right. I heard Michael Cole say that the other day.
Yes.
We should have done Fight Club today.
We should have, but you didn't suggest it, so I
blinked. Why didn't you say something to me?
Because I want to be wanted.
Executive producer and co-host?
I want to be wanted, and I wasn't.
Oh,
so anyway.
And as we know, I've been doing nothing but making Lonzo's life suck today.
Today, yeah. I might as well continue.
So might as well.
The odds are Jey Uso and Tiffany. Last year we knew who was winning on the guy side. There was no doubt it was going to be Cody.
Those are the Vegas odds?
Yes. According to X, yes.
Really? Jey Uso. We're getting the Jimmy return soon. But does Jimmy come back?
Not until we get Bloodline versus Bloodline. And I still think...
I think Jimmy's part of that.
But I think underneath it all, I think really The Rock is behind Solo. And that's how they're going to work it back into...
I don't know who told you Twitter. I've got Punk and Gunther. Wait, what is this? That's not... Is this old? I must be looking at old odds. Punk's not in the ladder match, right? Because Drew McIntyre killed him?
I don't know. I think there's still a thing tonight, and I don't think he's in it. No.
Oh, because I'm so dumb. I typed in Royal Rumble. I'm such an idiot. I'm really glad. I'm glad it's Friday, dudes. I'm real glad it's Friday. All right.
I need therapy after today. So, I mean, I'm going to go get some.
Yeah, after today.
Yeah.
Yeah. After today.
By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but Cobbler's not a pie.
Cobbler?
Diesel has spoken out and said that Cobbler's not a pie. So, we are tied on the fan upstate.
Cobbler's a pie. Y'all get some Cobbler, a.k.a. pie, this weekend. And we'll see you back. You know what kind of pie my favorite kind of pie is? Apple. We'll see you guys
cherry
back here.
Pie. She's my cherry pie.
Never mind. We're out of clips. Have a great day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you back here Monday to do it all over again. But better on the Fan Upstate. It's the Rob Brown Show. Robin Lonzo out. Later. See ya. Yeah. Bye. Forgot how to end the show.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rob Brown Show, final segment of the day, final segment of the week. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fan Upstate. Spectacular to have you here with us on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. NASCAR going to Chicago this weekend, running the street race at Chicago. I like the concept. I watched this race last year. And I really like it. I really like it because it's not just a road course. It's a tight road course. I mean, you've got road courses on the circuit. And I like having road courses on the circuit. I like having a NASCAR schedule that demands that there is a lot of different skill involved. I'm talking about racetracks that rely on the mechanics and the engineers and the pit crew and the tire changers and the crew chief, etc., where pretty much every driver on the mile and a half cookie cutter, every driver knows how to drive that course. Every driver knows how to spin circles on a mile and a half cookie cutter. So really, that race is not won or lost by drivers. That race is won or lost in the setup with the car, in the dialing in of the numbers on the car, making sure the analytics are correct. It's made on decision-making on the track, right? Should we come in? Should we pit? Should we get gas? Should we take two tires? Should we take four tires? I like that there are tracks on there. The races themselves can be quite boring. They just can. Because those cars spread out. Now, you know, you're 35 laps in and you got car every second and a half. And it stays that way for 500 miles. It can be a little boring. But I also think it is important because it sets up a schedule where the races aren't entirely dictated by the drivers. They are dictated by, again, crew chief, tire changers, gas man. The guys in the shop making sure the car is set up correctly. The guys in the lab making sure that the shifting limits on the gearbox are where they need to be. As a guy who likes to deep dive the racing, those things are massively importante. But I also like that you have all different styles of tracks that do test the drivers. I like that there are super speedways, 2.5 miles, almost 200, sometimes over 200 miles an hour. I like that guys have to understand when to draft, when to bump, when to get in line, when to step out of line. I like the guys got to take chances. All right, if I get off of this draft, will somebody go with me and open up a second line? If I get out of this draft, will everybody stay in the line and railroad me? I like that. I like that there are multiple now half-mile and three-quarter-mile tracks out there, short tracks. I like that drivers have to figure out, how do I get through this demolition derby where at any given point there's not 50 feet of track anywhere on the track that doesn't have a car on it? I think these different races test the drivers, and I like that we have added a classical, traditional-style road race to the mix. And I like that it's just the one. That's like Chicago. I like that it is one that gives the guys who's maybe their technical skill is in the street racing. I like that it is set up the way it's set up. There's a lot of very tight turns here. There's also a couple of different spots where the track opens up in a way that allows you to put some speed behind your vehicle. I like this track quite a bit. You're looking at a long straightaway from 2 to 3, a gradual right-hand turn, and then another on 4, but then a 90-degree turn at 5 to the right. a 90-degree turn to the left in six, a straightaway. A 90-degree turn at seven, to the right. Gradual turn that stays left, 8, 9, and 10. Come out short straightaway into a 90-degree right at 11 and 12. And then a long straightaway across the start finish line. I like this track. It's set up as two short tracks with some 90-degree turns to transition between them. Like, this is going to test drivers, and I want test on drivers to determine the playoff field. I'd be fine if they decided to put this field into the playoff, to be honest. I think the playoff needs to be more versatile, not less versatile. I think the 10 races for the playoffs should have two traditional short tracks, two traditional cookie cutters. It should have two super speedways. It should have two road courses. And then it should rotate a unique track somewhere else for the last one. I think that'd be a great way to set it up. So we'll see how this race looks. I like the scenery of this race. It's a beautiful race with the Chicago skyline in the background. This is one of, and I'll be honest with you, I can't really explain why. I have not watched as much NASCAR as I traditionally do this year. Spent a lot more checking out race summaries, watching the highlights, watching the NASCAR YouTube videos of the races after they're over that, you know, keep most of the important stuff in, but not everything. Spent a lot of summary in NASCAR this year. I haven't watched nearly as much as I have in years gone by, and I can't really put my finger on why.
Hey, do we have time to squeeze some NFL in real quick?
Sure.
All right, so according to CBS Sports, there are 9 quarterbacks more clutch than Lamar Jackson.
I saw something about that. You said it was CBS?
Yeah, I have the list in front of me.
Oh, give it to me.
So
give it to me.
At number 8, because Lamar's number 9. Number 8, Daniel Jones.
Who's 10?
They don't have that.
Oh, okay.
So we don't have time. So because 10, that's just way, that's way too much. But 9.
Well, we'll start at 9.
We got plenty of time for 9. So at number 8, Daniel Jones is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. At number 7, Joe Burrow is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. All right, there's
one name I'm waiting for, and I can't wait till you say it.
At number 6, Dak Prescott.
Oh, and there it is.
Is
just
more
like that.
Clutch than,
hey,
than Lamar Jackson.
Mr. Playoff.
Number 5, Jared Goff, more clutch than Lamar Jackson.
Don't have a problem with it.
Number 4, Josh, more clutch than
Who?
Lamar Jackson. Josh.
Josh McCown?
Maybe.
Bell?
Could be.
And Drake?
Definitely. That's the one.
You mean Josh Allen, Josh Allen.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah. Number 3, Jalen Hurts is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. Number 2, C.J. Stroud is more clutch than Lamar Jackson. And we already know who number 1 is. So,
Tom Brady.
Patrick Mahomes. Oh. Is more clutch.
Than, okay.
They're only talking about people who are actually still playing.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Patrick, I'm fine with. Way too early for C.J. Stroud. Way too early for C.J. Stroud to be here. I mean, he had some clutch drives last year, but way too early.
Jalen Hurts had one good season.
Jalen Hurts had a good season. Are we going to put Jalen Hurts here? The Eagles collapsed on themselves last year.
I would not put him in there.
The Eagles did the full, like the football version of a cartoon character lighting a stick of dynamite. No. You know what it was? You know when the cartoon character like pulls the pin from the grenade and then throws the pin?
Yes.
That's what the Eagles did, but the football style last year. They pulled the pin and then threw the pin and then stood there and let the grenade blow them up. Bad move. Josh Allen, I don't have an issue with being top 5. I'd be good with that. I think the only ones I have a problem with are Dak Prescott. Like, what's the entire legacy of Dak Prescott right now? Make the playoffs, choke in them. That's the opposite of clutch. Like, you got to be clutch to get to the playoffs. But getting to the playoffs and then choking annually, you're not clutch. Joe Burrow, I mean, they call him Joe Cool for a reason. I got no problem with that. Danny Dimes was the writer of this high when he put Danny Dimes at number 8? First off, how many clutch spots have the Giants been in under Danny Dimes? They're out of the playoffs by week 6 every year. How many clutch spots are they even in?
I don't know if clutch necessarily means playoffs. I think clutch just means any game.
Just any given clutch situation?
Yeah,
that's fine, except for when I get late into the season and the Giants are 6-8 and they're up against a, 12-4 Chiefs team. Are the Chiefs really going full gas in that game? Probably not. Lamar at number 9 is very interesting.
So you would put him top 5?
I would put him behind Patrick Mahomes. I put him ahead of C.J. Stroud. I just don't think you have the data on C.J. Stroud to put him here.
So when the game's on the line and you need that player to step up, Lamar Jackson is top 5 for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I would take him over C.J. Stroud. I'm not saying C.J. Stroud won't take the spot from him. I'm saying you don't have the data. I pointed this out on the BetQL show yesterday. Yes, C.J. Stroud won the division. Yes, it is impressive he won the division.
Out of the list that's up here, the top 9, I would put him top 5 also.
Lamar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Pleasantly surprised by that, to be honest with you.
Because I would put him ahead
of Jalen Hurts.
Ahead of Jalen Hurts, ahead of Dak Prescott, and ahead of Daniel Jones, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. 100%. I don't think it is responsible to have him any lower than 5.
I would also put him ahead of Jared Goff.
I think that's a subjective 50-50 call, and I'd be good with that. Honestly, I'd be good with that. I think Jared Goff had a lot of clutch moments last year. Like a lot of clutch games for that team last year.
My 1 and 2, I can't get beyond my bias. So
you're leaving CJ at 2?
Yeah.
No way. No chance. I like CJ Stroud, and I think he'll be on this list. I don't think he's on it yet. Let's not forget, right now,
with a full field to go and, less than 60 seconds clutch time, I got CJ Stroud as my quarterback. I've got Lamar as my quarterback. I'm going CJ because
over Lamar Jackson?
Because he's a better passer.
Stop.
He's definitely a better passer.
Stop.
I mean, he just is.
Stop. I'm going Lamar over CJ Stroud. I might even have CJ Stroud in the top 5, to be honest. I might put CJ at 5. But let's not pretend Anthony Richardson's shoulder blade didn't explode and the Jacksonville Jaguars rivaled only the Eagles in terms of implosion last year. He gonna give it to you.
He is. All right. The things that are X-ing today, let us start with Sharks.
Is it Shark Week this week?
Dude, you haven't seen?
What am I missing?
The big shark attack in Florida?
What? Yes. Another one?
Yeah.
Yo, the sharks are not playing in the Sunshine State right now.
Several people injured in like the same attack within like 10 minutes or something. Yeah. I forget what beach
Where?
It was.
I'm going to need to know this.
I want to say Miami, but I can't remember exactly.
I usually don't look them up until we get done with the show. South Padre Island, and apparently there's video of like some of the victims coming out of the water, and they are jacked. I regret.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video. I'm not looking at that. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I regret it. I regret it.
I don't want to see that. So if you go into the ocean, which I may or may not be
should
doing.
Should you be squeamish, avoid it at all costs.
Yes.
Yeah, I just saw the inside of a lady's leg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
So anyway, sharks are hungry. You go into the ocean. That's where they live. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, I kind of like, I'm a big beach guy, and I'm a get in the water when I go to the beach guy. I grew up in the beaches of Florida. There are always sharks. If you go to the beach and you get in the water, there's a shark within 500 yards of you at all times.
I'm heading to the beach in a week, and my goal, because I'm old and boring, is to read a book. I mean, I've been in the ocean. Physically, I have some problems with my legs, and the waves don't. They don't care. They will beat you to death. Chances are I will get in a little bit, but not as much as
I love being in the water. I will sit in a float and drink Bahama Mamas in the water all day, every single day. Also, the sharks ain't playing right now. And if you go in the water and you get by a shark, like, you can't be mad at the shark.
There's been some attacks in California also and some in Myrtle Beach. So just be careful. All right. The next thing that's Xing is Money in the Bank.
I'm never going to unsee that lady's leg.
You should not have looked at the video.
I mean, it's all over Twitter.
I saw the headline and I just moved on. Anyway.
Money in the Bank. We are either.
It's tomorrow.
We're set now. Oh, it is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
I should pay more attention. Oh, that's right. I heard Michael Cole say that the other day.
Yes.
We should have done Fight Club today.
Yeah, we should have, but you didn't suggest it, so I
blinked. Why didn't you say something to me?
Because I want to be wanted.
Executive producer and co-host?
I want to be wanted, and I wasn't.
Oh,
so anyway.
And as we know, I've been doing nothing but making Lonzo's life suck today.
Today, yeah. I might as well continue.
So might as well.
The odds are Jey Uso and Tiffany. Last year we knew who was winning on the guy side. There was no doubt it was going to be Cody.
Those are the Vegas odds?
Yes. According to X, yes.
Really? Jey Uso. We're getting the Jimmy return soon. But does Jimmy come back?
Not until we get Bloodline versus Bloodline. And I still think...
I think Jimmy's part of that.
I think underneath it all, I think really The Rock is behind Solo. And that's how they're going to work it back into...
I don't know who told you Twitter. I've got Punk and Gunther. Wait, what is this? That's not... Is this old? I must be looking at old odds. Punk's not in the ladder match, right? Because Drew McIntyre killed him?
I don't know. I think there's still a thing tonight. And I don't think he's in it. No.
Oh, because I'm so dumb. I typed in Royal Rumble. I'm such an idiot. I'm really glad. I'm glad it's Friday, dudes. I'm real glad it's Friday. All right.
I need therapy after today. So, I mean, I'm going to go get some.
Yeah, after today.
Yeah.
Yeah. After today.
By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but Cobbler's not a pie.
Cobbler?
Diesel has spoken out and said that Cobbler's not a pie. So, we are tied on the fan upstate.
Cobbler's a pie. Y'all get some Cobbler, a.k.a. pie, this weekend. And we'll see you back. You know what kind of pie my favorite kind of pie is? Apple. We'll see you guys
cherry
back here.
Pie. She's my cherry pie.
Never mind. We're out of clips. Have a great day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you back here Monday to do it all over again, but better on the Fan Upstate. It's the Rob Brown Show. Robin Lonzo out. Later. See ya. Yeah. Bye. Forgot how to end the show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.